You are Locked On Pelicans, your daily podcast on the New Orleans Pelicans, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to another edition of Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at Nola Jake on Twitter. Also a writer over at bourbonstreetshots.com, where I've got an article went up yesterday, Wednesday, for you all, talking about that fourth quarter where the Pelicans kind of, not melted down, but didn't play as well as they could have, you know, lost a winnable game against the Golden State Warriors at home on Tuesday night. And that's going to kind of lead into what I'm going to talk about on the podcast today, which is going to be some clutch time stats. Whether or not I trust this team in clutch time, is that a fault of the coaching, just the players, maybe it's the roster construction, a little bit of all of the above. So we're going to talk about that on the podcast, and then I'm going to preview tonight's game against the Indiana Pacers. It's Star Wars Day. That's why I'm not thinking clearly. Against the Indiana Pacers, I want to talk a little bit about Solomon Hill, his contributions to the team this year. He is playing his former team, the team that kind of let him walk because they didn't really believe in him too much. So that's an interesting topic with him playing his old team today. So that's the game plan here for Locked On Pelicans. Should be a fun one. You guys aren't going to be really happy with the clutch time statistics from NBA.com, though. But we'll talk about why and what's going on there. So make sure you're listening to the whole episode today. Before going into the clutch time statistics, though, that game against the Warriors shows you why you should always want to be in the arena to watch this team play live. You never know where they're going to come out and have a really fun game, and that Warriors game was a lot of fun to watch if you were a fan. And the best way to get in on the action, I've mentioned to you guys before, is going to be SeatGeek. Go on to whatever app store it is, the iTunes app store, the Google Play, whatever it might be. Download the SeatGeek app. Take a look on there. It's a ticket aggregator. They're going to take tickets from all different places, get them all in one central location for you to see. You can compare the prices between them all, sit exactly where you want to sit, and they're going to rate the tickets for you. They're going to tell you what's a good deal. You guys work hard for your money. Everyone does. You want to make sure you're spending it wisely, and SeatGeek's going to really help you do it. I've used it for a ton of Saints games this year. You can just get on there, look up, get the tickets, make the purchase that you want. You just show your phone to whatever place it is. I've gone into Saints games at the last minute with some great deals on tickets. I was getting tickets to certain games for $25 a ticket. Pick up two, one for my girlfriend, one for myself. And it's pretty great to be able to do that. And for the Locked On Pelicans listeners, we've got a bonus with everything here. When you download the app, go on to settings and click on redeem codes. If you put in LO Pelicans, as in Locked On Pelicans, LO Pelicans, you're going to get a rebate of $20 just for purchasing seats you already want. It's free money you're getting back. Use it for, concessions next time you go to a game. So free money for making a purchase you were probably going to make anyway. There's not much better than that. And again, they're going to give you the best prices on the tickets anyway, so you're double dipping here and winning twice. So make sure you download the SeatGeek app today. Go to promote redeem codes, put in LO Pelicans, and make sure you're at every event you want to be at going forward. So we saw in the game against the Warriors that the Pelicans struggled in the fourth quarter. They were 1 from 10 from deep. They were 6 of 21 overall. And they had put up 94 points through three quarters, and they only managed to put up, 15, 16? I don't have it right in front of me right now, the other night. In the fourth quarter against the Warriors, in a game they could have won. They were playing incredibly well, but they just weren't able to get it done. In their final 11 possessions, they only scored 2 points, I think, or at one point. It was something like that. Not good. Not what you want. So what's really nice is we are able to take a look at clutch time statistics in the NBA due to the stats website, so we can get an idea of how the team is shooting, playing overall, and who's coming up big in those situations for the Pelicans. So some things to note. I was talking on Twitter yesterday, that I don't like that they necessarily shot 10 threes in that fourth quarter against the Warriors. They had been hot for the game overall, but we knew that wasn't going to last. And the other issue is they haven't been a good three-point shooting team all year. They rank 27th worst overall. Shooting, I'm pulling it up right now. Sorry, I got different stats pages open here. But overall, they're not a good three-point shooting team. We've seen that. And so, 27th worst, and they shoot 32.7% overall. So, doesn't work out too well for this team. So, they're not good three-point shooting teams. Do I trust these guys to shoot three-pointers with the game on the line? No, I don't. Not really. And you saw it. Langston Galloway went 0 for 3 in that period. He was the Pelicans' best shooter in the entire game. So, no, not particularly thrilled about that being the case. So, it's disappointing to see that. So, overall, you've got a poor shooting team. Maybe you need to manufacture looks in different ways. Get the ball to Anthony Davis more. He only had 4 field goal attempts in the fourth quarter in its entirety in what he played. So not ideal, not great for the team. So clutch numbers, let's show how bad the Pelicans have been trying to close out games this year. They are 6 of 37 from the three-point line in the end-of-game situations where they're ahead or behind by 5 with 5 minutes or less. That is 16.2% overall from three. So again, reasons why I'm not excited about them shooting threes late in the game. They shoot just overall poorly. They're second worst, not dead last this time, and overall from the field, they shoot 32.2%. So not much better. If you dive into the numbers a little bit more, it gets absolutely ridiculous. So the only guy on the team to... There's only one guy who's made a three-pointer in clutch time this year. I'll give you a second to try and guess who it is. I threw it out on Twitter just for, you know, to spoil it, I guess. And that's Langston Galloway. He's 6 of 14, which is 42.9%. So that's pretty good overall. However, everyone else is 0 for 23. 0 for 23. That's mind-blowingly bad when it comes to needing a shot to win or potentially, you know, seal a game here. They'd talked about how Jrue Holiday was going to come back to this team and he was going to be one of the guys that would help them close out games. Well, he didn't do that, you know, last night or the other night. He's 0 for 5 from 3 for the season to try and in this clutch period. He's 5 of 15 overall for 33.3% from the field. It's not great. More than that, you know, he's 9 of 13 at the line. That's 69.2%. He hasn't come through for the Pelicans when it mattered. There has to be ways of manufacturing better looks. And I wrote about it on bourbonstreetshots.com yesterday, where I talked about, well, they're not really set up to win games in late game situations and to potentially come from behind, snatch a win, or to seal a victory. You have guys that aren't shooting well from three, and, you know, yes, they should get better. Their numbers historically say they're better, but it can also be as simple as maybe they're just having a bad down year. So maybe you don't want to get them the ball in clutch situations, and you want to get it to someone else or manufacture a different look. So that's a problem here. You got guys who aren't being particularly great from three. Langston Galloway gets his threes in bunches. If you look at his game log, he's got just as many games of 0 3-pointers made or 1 3-pointers made as he does, you know, when he hits 6 or 4 or 5 if we want to split the difference there too. And those games are fewer, and that's why his average, you know, again, if you were to throw out the middle, the top, and the bottom, and you just look at the middle, it's not going to actually look particularly great for him. You'll see a lot of ones and zeros and maybe a couple of twos and threes in there as well in terms of total made three-pointers. It's not a consistent enough player. There's more volatility there. Peaks and valleys on him as a player are much greater than on a more consistent player, even though they might shoot a similar average. Ryan Anderson was the same way. I had talked about that a lot the past couple of years. He has a reputation as a great three-point shooter, and he can get them in bunches and get hot. But if you look at his game logs with the Pelicans, there were a lot of times he only made 1 3-pointer in a game. And while he's still a threat when he's on the court, if you're not making them consistently and multiple times a game, you're not necessarily helping the team, especially I don't trust you in clutch time. So that's a problem right there. So again, Langston Galloway is the only guy who's made him, and he was 0 for 3 last night when the team really needed him to hit some shots. Don't forget, Locked On Pelicans coming to you 5 days a week, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. You hear it in the beginning of every podcast where it says your team every day. There's a podcast for every NFL team, every NBA team. You're listening to Locked On Pelicans, of course, obviously. Locked On Pels comes to you at 6 a.m. every day, unless there's some technical issues, which have happened a little bit this week. But this one came out at 6 a.m. Going forward, they're 6 a.m. You know what time they're coming out. So please make sure you've subscribed on iTunes, on Audio Boom, that you follow the site on Twitter. It's at Locked On Pels. Don't forget, there's the Locked On NBA podcast. It's once a week. It covers a lot. We get some really cool stuff on there where they have anonymous scouts, anonymous coaches coming on, giving, you know, very serious takes that you're really not going to get anywhere else because you don't have coaches talking this open and honestly about things. There's Locked On Fantasy Basketball, Locked On Fantasy Football. If you're a fantasy sports player, I use it to help my fantasy basketball team out, and I need it because they're not doing too well right now. So there's a lot of great content out there on the network. It's a lot of fun. Make sure you're listening in to as many different things as you have time for. So going back to the clutch time discussion, so the Pelicans aren't really set up to win because they don't have the right three-point shooters out there. They don't have guys you necessarily want to trust from the three-point line, especially in an important situation. And Anthony Davis showed last night, or the other night, why he's not necessarily a closer just yet. He's the best player they have. He's the guy you trust to get the bucket out of anyone, but he was passive at times. When he got off that pick and roll, got the ball and was going towards the rim, he's trying to lay it in and go in for to try and go around guys and use more finesse. And Durant was able to block that play away and swatted it. Davis needs to go a little bit harder at the rim, maybe try and get up there with two hands on the ball and try and draw some contact. That's the problem. He wasn't drawing free throws in those times where he probably really needed to get to the line, especially because you couldn't afford an empty trip in that situation. It wasn't turnovers that doomed him. If he hits that layup or dunk right there, this is an entirely different game. They're tied when they get the ball back. They were only down really two is what they lost by, essentially. So, yeah, there you go. He needs to go up and draw free throws there. And the final possession against Draymond Green, which I'm going to talk about in a second because the NBA released a report on that, he didn't really go after him. He kind of waited there for a second. He allowed Draymond Green to get the right defensive positioning where he wanted, where he felt comfortable. And that's why Green was able to poke that ball out and strip it from Davis on the steal. That steal was clean. The NBA said as much. They released the final two-minute report where they look at everything. They did say the steal was clean. The part that wasn't clean was the two hands on Anthony Davis' back. That should have been a foul, they said. So incorrect no call there. There should have been a call there. Although, I don't know if you're honestly going to call that in that situation. You're allowed to have some contact in the NBA. However, what kind of counterbalances it out is they said each one more traveled and it wasn't called on that same possession. So it's a bit of a wash either way. If he travels, you don't even get this. That was after he grabbed the rebound. He traveled right there. So it doesn't ultimately matter that they blew a call because they blew one that would have negated everything to begin with. But Davis didn't basically take charge of the game he should have. He could have called for the ball more. He did take four shots. He got to the line once. That was on the intentional foul by the Warriors on an inbound to foul up three to send him to the line for two. Smart foul in that case. But he needs to get that ball and get some contact and get to the line and get those easy points. And he didn't come through with that in the Warriors game. And again, even for clutch time for him, I'll tell you guys some of his stats. I've got him here. He is shooting 35.6% from the field in clutch time situations, 0 for 7 on threes. I'm not as worried about the threes. I've watched almost all of those. They're not that great of a situation for him to be shooting either, but some of them are open. But he's also got 5 turnovers in that stretch, and that hurts the Pelicans too. He needs to make sure he's securing the ball and that he's charging at that rim to try and draw some contact and either get an and-one or get to the line and not come up with an empty possession for the Pelicans in clutch time situations. So right now, also, it's talent. They just don't have the guys who are good enough to try and win in late-game situations. So right now, it seems to be like if the Pelicans get in a close game, they're not probably going to pull this one out, so hopefully that's not going to be the case against the Pacers tonight in the Smoothie King Center. Which segues in nicely to the next topic, which is this Pacers game and, Solomon Hill playing his former team where he left, signed the big money deal with the New Orleans Pelicans, hasn't lived up to that offensively, but he's known for his defense. And before I talk about the game, I do want to mention Solomon Hill here. This is something I wanted to talk about for a little while now. Solomon Hill had an interesting start. He's been in and out of the starting lineup with the Pelicans here. A lot of that's just because offensively he hasn't been getting it done. It's been a little rough go of him, especially with the three-point shooting. They figured after the strong playoff performance he had, they'd maybe get the better version of Solomon Hill, the top version of Solomon Hill. And instead they're getting the pre-version of that Solomon Hill, the one from 2 years ago who wasn't really doing anything. He did pick up rather nicely for the Pacers in the second half of last season. But the problem here is he's not making his threes. He's not hitting corner threes. He's actually made more threes recently, and they're coming at the top of the arc as well. So he's not adequately spacing the floor like the Pelicans need him to. Defensively, he's done a pretty good job. He has good and at times strong on-ball defense where he can pick a guy's pocket. You saw against the Warriors, he did it a little bit. And he's got his hands up. He also communicates on defense, which is one of the biggest things. He's trying to organize the team, trying to, you know, tell people where to go. The problem is, I don't know if his on-ball defense is actually as good as it was advertised. And I don't know if just maybe being in this situation with very little help does it, or if there's some other reasons for it. But he leaves a lot to be desired at times when he's actually doing some man guarding. And that's, you know, a bit of a disappointing thing here. It's especially when he's guarding on the baseline. So if he's guarding someone who's standing in the short corner, if they're not going to shoot a three and they try and drive along the baseline towards the rim, he does not take a good angle to I can tell you what he's doing. If you watch his body, it's angled in a way where he's trying to force them out of bounds. He's trying to use the sideline, the baseline, as an extra defender, essentially. It's a common tactic. When I played lacrosse in high school, I would do that all the time. I wouldn't even hit guys. I would just give them no room, and they kind of fall out of bounds, and we get the ball back. It was smart. And, you know, he's doing the same thing. He's trying to take away room by forcing them to go along the baseline. The problem is they get by him and they score along the baseline right under the basket, or they're able to make a better pass then because they've created some room. He's not staying in front of them. He's too worried about taking away the room to curl up or move back to the top of the three-point line in that like long two range, where he's trying to not let them go up there and just limit the options of movement. But by doing this, they get to the rim because that's the shortest path here along the baseline. He did that a bunch against the Warriors too. It stands out. And if he's going to let people score like that, if he's not going to make threes or score offensively like he needs to, it makes him a liability to play at times. There's a reason Dante Cunningham was starting over him at one point, why they brought in Anthony Brown for a little bit to try and get some wing depth. This is a guy they spent $50 and $54 million on. You know, you definitely can't have it being a situation where he's out of the starting lineup or you're not playing him a ton. He was getting very few minutes for a little while because Alvin Gentry just never trusted him. And that's going to be a problem tonight potentially, because he's probably going to be guarding Paul George, one of the better wings in the NBA. That dude can shoot threes, can score at the rim, overall great player. He's on my fantasy team, but I'm rooting against him tonight, you guys. So you got to wonder if he's going to be able to shut him down. This is going to be a good test for him. He's kind of failed a lot of these good tests. He's not just taken out or taken away opponents' best players. They're still scoring, unfortunately. And a lot of that is just this team's defense is adequate. It's just okay. It's all right. It's not amazing. But something needs to change. So the Pacers here are an interesting team. They're one game above 500. They luckily play in the Eastern Conference. They're seventh there currently. That certainly helps things for them. But the situation with that's going to be they're not great offensively. They're not great defensively. But they can do enough. And the Pelicans, you know, even against a mediocre defense, they're ranked 19th in both of those in the league, might struggle to score, especially with a lot of athleticism. So Pacers guard the perimeter incredibly well. Teams don't get to shoot. They take a lot of threes against them, but they're contested threes. They allow one of their top 10 in three-point percentage allowed, while being kind of dead last almost, or bottom three in terms of three-point attempts against them. So the Pelicans are going to get to shoot a lot of threes. Like we talked about in the clutch situations, I don't know if I trust these guys to make all the threes they're going to take. But they're going to have an opportunity to prove me wrong, that's for sure. And if the Pelicans want to win this game, they're going to need to connect on those threes. Buddy Hield's going to need to make them. Each one more is going to need to make them. Langston Galloway's going to need to be hot. And they're going to need those guys to hit it, because right now Tim Frazier, who fell on his wrist late in the game against the Warriors, is listed as doubtful, while Tyreke Evans has been bumped up to questionable. Evans will probably only play 10 minutes or so, maybe that, 15. No more than that, I would assume, if he does play. So that's going to be an issue. You know, you're going to need to get some production from someone else. So it's going to definitely need to be guys hitting their three-pointers. The Pelicans also need to defend the perimeter quite well, too. The Pacers don't take a lot of threes, but when they do take them, they tend to make them. And the Pelicans give up a lot of threes because they get lost on defense at times. They don't know where to go, who to guard, who to switch on to, which leads to a lot of wide-open perimeter shooters. They might do the same against the Pacers tonight, and if they do that, the Pacers are going to hit those shots. It's kind of a reverse of the Pelicans situation here. And that's how the Pelicans can get behind early. This is not a team that can necessarily come from behind when a lead gets very big. They're not going to come back from 15 points down. We've seen it. This offense ranks, you know, close to last in the league almost, so it can be a problem. You also need to be very smart with the ball. Holiday can't afford to turn it over. They get a lot of steals, the Pacers do. You know, it's you got to just kind of take care of the ball, play smart basketball offensively, and you can try and win this game. You know, this Pacers team isn't as good as people maybe thought they were going to be. I don't think losing Solomon Hill's hurt them a ton. But, you know, they still have Paul George. Jeff Teague has looked incredibly good for him this year with assists and keeping the ball movement going. They have guys who can kind of light it up if they need to. So it's going to be an interesting situation. But, I mean, Paul George, Jeff Teague, those are the guys you need to worry about the most. Miles Turner's on the team playing center, and he's played pretty well for him, actually. He's been a bit of a fun guy to watch this year. But Anthony Davis, they don't even need to worry about that there. So, like I said, they defend the perimeter pretty well. They're going to give up three-point attempts, but they know they can defend them, and they're going to be okay contesting those shots. So if the Pelicans don't have those shots falling early, they'll be able to kind of keep it going. But the better idea might be to send the ball inside to Anthony Davis and to let him do work, because they don't really have anyone who's going to be able to neutralize him. They have Al Jefferson, but he's playing 15 minutes a game. He's not going to take down Anthony Davis. Miles Turner's not going to be able to do it himself. There's a lot of potential here for Davis to have a big game. He's been a little bit quiet past couple of games, so I think it'll be a nice situation where maybe Davis rebounds. The thing I'm worried the most about is after that deflating loss against the Warriors, and it was a deflating loss, look at the interviews with the players after the game. They're not happy. It's a moral victory for fans. You're happy with how the Pelicans played. I am too. Players don't feel the same way. Are they going to have the right kind of energy for this game? Are they going to come out and feel very excited and motivated and play with passion and play with fire that they're going to need to try and win this game? Or are they so defeated from this last game against the Warriors, they come out flat? Or maybe they just want to go see Star Wars. So we'll find out what happens, though, and either way, it should be a very fun game. The Pacers are a fun team. I really enjoy watching Paul George play. I like Jeff Teague a lot, too. So it'll be a fun one in the Smoothie King Center, and we'll see if the Pelicans can take care of business and get a win after that heartbreaking, like I said, Warriors loss. And hopefully, as we talked about in the first part of the podcast, it doesn't come down to a late-game situation, because I do not trust the Pelicans when it comes to that whatsoever. Hopefully I'll be proven wrong, though. So thank you all for listening to Locked On Pelicans. I'm your host, Jake Madison, at NolaJake on Twitter. Always fun talking basketball with you guys, and I'll be back tomorrow with you all.
Napa know-how.
It takes a lot to get excited about a bag, but most bags can't save you 20% on auto parts. That's 20% off headlamps, 20% off oil filters, 20% off virtually anything you can fit inside the 99-cent Napa reusable bag. So tell your buddies, there's a bag they just have to check out. Quality parts, helpful people. That's Napa know-how.
Napa know-how.
At participating Napa Auto Parts stores while supplies last. Minimum three items. Exclusions apply. Offer ends 10/31/17.